Ever get that little shiver of doubt when you leave your car in a parking garage?
Yeah.
You know, that feeling like, will it really be there when I get back?
Right.
Turns out there's this whole legal rabbit hole behind that feeling. And today's deep dive, well, it's all about a case that'll make you look at parking garages in a whole new light.
We're going way back to 1984
Oh, wow.
with a case called Allen v. Hyatt Regency Nashville Hotel.
Catchy.
It really gets to the core of like who's responsible when your car disappears from a parking garage, you know, one that's supposed to be secure.
Okay, so paint a picture for us. What exactly happened in this case?
All right, so it's 1981.
Back in the day.
Mr. Allen drives into the Heights parking garage, right? And it's not just for the hotel guests. Anyone can park there.
So it's open to the public.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he's got his wife's brand new 1981 car, like we're talking fresh off the lot.
Oh,
He
right.
finds a spot in this garage that seems totally safe, pays, gets a ticket, locks up, and heads out. You know, the usual.
Yeah, sounds pretty normal so far.
Right. But when he gets back, the car? Gone. Vanished.
Oh, no.
Like never to be seen again.
That's awful.
And you know, this is where the legal stuff gets interesting. This whole case, it hinges on this thing called bailment.
Bailment.
Sounds like some old legal term.
Yeah, kind of dusty,
But
you know?
it's actually relevant to everyday life, believe it or not.
Really? So break it down for us. What does this railman thing mean? And how does it apply to parking a car?
Okay, so basically, bailment is when you give your property to someone else temporarily, with the understanding that they'll take care of it and, you know, give it back to you in good condition.
So, like leaving your coat at a coat check.
Exactly. That's a perfect
On like
example.
valet parking.
Yep, exactly. You're giving your property over and they're taking on the responsibility of looking after it.
Okay, starting to see the connection to parking garages now.
Right.
There's something different in this case, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a twist.
Mr. Allen, he kept his car keys.
That's right.
So, how can the Hyatt be responsible for the car if they didn't even have the keys?
That's the big question, isn't it?
It is.
And it all comes down to what counts as delivery and acceptance in this whole, you know, bailment situation.
Interesting. So, what did the court decide?
Well, the trial court, they actually sided with Mr. Allen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then the Tennessee Supreme Court, they agreed with that decision.
So they both ruled in favor of Mr. Allen.
And their reasoning was all about the Hyatt's control over the whole parking garage environment.
Control.
Yeah, like think about it. There was just one way in with a ticket system and one way out with an attendant watching over things.
And security guards, right?
Yeah, security guards patrolling around. So you couldn't just, you know, waltz in and out without dealing with the Hyatt's people or their systems. The court basically said that this control, like over who gets in and out, that was way more important than who had the actual keys.
Oh, I see. So it's not about the keys in your pocket, but who's actually running the show, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. It's about who controls the environment.
Interesting. So they basically set a precedent that it's not just about the keys,
Right.
it's about how much control a parking facility actually has.
Right.
But wait a minute. What about those disclaimers you usually see on parking tickets?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ones that say something like, park at your own risk. Didn't Mr. Allen get one of those?
He did. His ticket had a clear statement saying the Hyatt wasn't responsible for anything that happened to the car.
So that's it then, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole point of a disclaimer? To protect the business?
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But the court, they didn't buy it.
Really? Why not?
They basically said there wasn't any proof that Mr. Allen actually saw that disclaimer or agreed to it. They argued that just, you know, printing something on a ticket doesn't automatically mean the customer is bound by it.
Oh, so the disclaimer wasn't enough. But even without it, for the Hyatt to be held responsible, he still had to have been negligent in some way.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. And this is where the legal stuff gets a little more complicated.
Okay, lay it on us.
See, there's this law in Tennessee,
Oh.
Section 24-111, to be precise, and it creates this thing called a presumption of negligence.
A presumption of negligence.
Yeah.
What's that?
It happens when a bailee, in this case the parking garage, you know, fails to return the property.
So, are you saying that the Hyatt was automatically considered at fault, like guilty even before they could defend themselves?
Well, not exactly. This presumption of negligence thing, it doesn't automatically make them guilty. What it does is shift who has to prove what.
Okay.
Think of it like a seesaw. Usually the person making the accusation, they have to prove the other side messed up. But with this presumption of negligence, the seesaw flips.
Ah, so instead of Mr. Allen having to prove the Hyatt was negligent, the Hyatt had to prove they weren't.
Exactly. It doesn't automatically mean they're guilty, but they have to come up with strong evidence to fight that presumption. And, well, things didn't look so good for the Hyatt at this point.
Oh, why not?
Remember that security guard who mentioned a report about something suspicious going on earlier that day?
Yeah, he said he looked around but didn't find anything.
Right, and the court, they saw that as a warning sign.
Makes sense.
It meant that the Hyatt, they knew something might be up, but they didn't seem to do much about it.
They didn't take it seriously enough.
Yeah, and they didn't really show much evidence of other security measures either. You know, like enough patrols or controlling access to different floors. Basically, they didn't do enough to convince the court that they'd taken all the right precautions.
So the Hyatt kind of dropped the ball on security. But is that really enough to make them pay for the full cost of a brand new car?
Well, the court also brought up this idea of spreading the risk. Their argument was that since the Hyatt was charging for parking and probably charging a premium because they said it was a secure garage, they had a responsibility to use those fees to actually make it secure, you know?
So they were basically saying that if you're going to charge people extra for a secure parking experience, you better actually deliver on that promise.
That's the gist of it, yeah.
So case closed. The Hyatt loses and they have to pay Mr. Allen for his stolen car.
Well, not so fast. There's one more piece to this legal puzzle we need to examine. The dissenting opinion of Justice Droda.
Yes, a dissenting opinion. Always love a good dissent.
Right. Always spices things up a bit.
So what did Justice Droda have to say about all of this?
Well, he basically argued that this whole idea of, you know, applying these old bailment rules to modern parking garages might not be the best fit anymore.
Why not? I mean, a parking garage is a parking garage, right?
Yeah, but he felt that since the garage didn't actually have physical custody of the car, you know, like in a valet situation where they take your keys, it shouldn't just automatically be considered a bailment. Mm. He pointed out that Mr. Allen hadn't really given up enough control for that to be the case.
Okay.
Justice Droda's point was that modern parking structures, especially those with like all the automated features, they're more like self-service operations, you know?
I see. So he was basically saying that the law might need to catch up a bit with how parking garages actually work these days.
Yeah, exactly. He was worried that using these old bailment rules for modern garages could end up being unfair to the people who run them, especially as technology keeps like changing things even more.
Yeah, I can see his point. So how did the majority opinion address Justice Droda's concerns?
They acknowledged his points. You know, they said they understood where he was coming from. Uh-huh. But in the end, they still felt that public expectation was a really big deal.
Public expectation.
Yeah, they argued that if a garage, you know, advertises itself as being secure, or at least implies that it is, and then charges people more because of that, they have to be held to a higher standard.
That makes sense. So basically, you can't promise people a secure parking experience and charge them a premium for it, and then just shrug your shoulders when something goes wrong.
Exactly. And that brings us to what this all means for you, our dear listener.
Yes. Let's bring it back to the real world for a second.
Right.
What are the big takeaways from this case? Should we all become legal experts on bailment before we park our cars now?
Well, maybe not legal experts, but it does highlight a few things to think about.
Okay, like what?
First, it really underscores how important it is to understand how much control a parking facility actually has.
Control, right.
Yeah, do they have attendants? Are there controlled entry and exit points? Visible security measures?
Right.
All those factors can play a part in whether a court might consider it a bailment or not.
So it's more than just whether or not you hand over your keys. It's about the whole security setup.
Exactly. And second, this case really shines a light on the importance of those disclaimers. You know, the ones...
My parking ticket.
Yeah, the ones we often see on parking tickets.
Uh-huh.
The court's decision in Allen v. Hyatt Regency kind of suggests that businesses can't just rely on fine print to get out of responsibility.
Right. Those gotcha tactics don't always work.
Exactly. They need to make sure that customers are actually seeing and, you know, acknowledging those disclaimers.
So like maybe a big sign at the entrance.
Yeah. Or a clear message on a digital payment screen, something that makes it clear the customer has been informed.
Okay. So businesses need to be more upfront about those disclaimers. What else?
Well, this case also really emphasizes how important it is for parking facilities to actually take security seriously.
Yeah.
If they're saying they're secure, they need to back that up with actual measures, like good lighting, surveillance cameras, regular patrols, and a system for responding quickly if something happens.
It's like a silent agreement, right?
Yeah.
You pay for parking, and part of what you're paying for is the peace of mind that your car will be safe.
Perfectly put. This case has implications for all of us, not just the people who use parking garages, but the businesses that run them too.
Right.
It highlights the need for clear communication, solid security measures, and the realization that relying on legal loopholes might not be enough to avoid being held responsible.
So next time you pull into a parking garage, take a minute to assess the situation.
Yeah, good idea.
What's the level of control they have? Are the disclaimers clear? Do the security measures seem up to par?
Being a savvy consumer means understanding the legal stuff behind these everyday transactions. And sometimes, knowing a bit about the law can really make a difference.
This deep dive into Allen v. Hyatt Regency has definitely made me more aware of where I park my car. But what about the future? You know, Justice Trewoda's dissenting opinion really got me thinking about how all this automation could change things.
Oh, that's a fantastic point. It leads to some really interesting legal questions. What happens when technology really takes over? Driverless cars, robotic valets, fully automated parking systems where you barely even talk to a person?
It sounds like something out of a movie, but it's becoming real.
And this new reality is going to create some challenges for the legal system, for sure.
Yeah, so we're talking like robotic valets and cars driving themselves into parking spots.
Right.
It all sounds cool and futuristic, and I can't help but wonder, like, what happens if you hand your car over to a robot valet and it, like, gets a dent? Who's responsible then?
Yeah.
What if, like, the whole automated system messes up and damages my car? Or even worse, you know, causes an accident?
Those are exactly the kinds of questions that courts are going to have to figure out as this technology keeps developing. It's all pretty new, legally speaking.
So does that mean our good old Allen v. Hyatt Regency case, is it, like, outdated now? Is bailment going to go extinct?
Not necessarily. Those core bailment ideas, you know, delivery, acceptance, duty of care.
Right.
Those are all still important. The real question is how they'll be used in this whole new world of automated parking.
So it's not about getting rid of the old rules, but figuring out how they fit into this new tech landscape.
Exactly. We might see things shift towards more like subtle understandings of control and possession.
Okay.
For example, think about if you like order a driverless car using an app and it gets into an accident.
Uh-oh.
The whole question of control gets really tricky there. Who's actually in control? Is it the company that made the software?
Right.
The car manufacturer?
Right.
The ride-sharing app? Or could it even be the passenger, you know, since they might have some input through the app?
Whoa, it's like a legal puzzle where the pieces are constantly changing.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. We're probably going to see new laws, regulations, all sorts of legal precedents pop up to address these new situations.
So while Allen v. Hyatt Regency might not have all the answers for the future of parking, it at least gives us a good starting point for understanding the legal stuff, right?
Absolutely. The case reminds us that even the things we do every day, like parking our cars, they all exist within this legal framework. And as technology changes everything, knowing about that framework becomes even more important.
So next time you park your car, whether it's in a regular garage or you're giving it to a robot valet, take a second to think about the legal side of things. It's a pretty interesting area of law, and it's only going to get more relevant as time goes on.
Well said. It really shows how the law is always evolving to keep up with the world around us.
This deep dive into Allen v. Hyatt Regency has been really eye-opening. Who knew a case from 1984 could be so important for the future of parking?
It just goes to show that legal principles can stick around, even when technology is changing super fast.
Well, we hope this episode has helped you understand bailment a little better, and all the complicated stuff about parking garage liability, and of course all those exciting legal challenges that are coming our way.
And like always, we encourage you to keep thinking about these things, ask questions, and have some good conversations about the law and how it affects our lives.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.